Thank you, you're all in for a musical treat this Sunday. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Church. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. I'd like to call your attention, as we do each week, to This Week in Unity, the insert in your order of service, which seeks to inform you of the many events occurring in the coming weeks here. Our wonderful Wellspring Wednesday program continues, of course, with classes, and the feature presentation this week will examine
nation and need to be recalled to our best selves again. Gentle hands.
prayers which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And now will you join with me in a moment of prayer? O Eternal Spirit, you who we call by many different names and approach by very different paths. In this sacred moment, in this time,
First is from Leviticus. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. And from Hebrews. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it.
And this from the Minnesota writer Robert Ryde, The Third Body. A man and woman sit near each other, and they do not want at this moment to be older or younger or born in any other nation or any other time or any other place. They are content to be where they are, talking or not talking. Their breaths feed someone whom we do not know. The man sees the way
Suddenly, the old ladies on the bus started yelling at us in Italian, and the bus lurched to a stop. The women began pulling at our backpacks and pushing us toward the front of the bus. My friend and I looked at each other, terrified. Of course, these ladies weren't trying to harm us at all. They knew this was our stop. I'm sure they'd experienced other such lost backpackers before. And they wanted us to get off the bus. As we exited the bus, a friend and I turned to them in our poor Italian and grazie. As I think back on this trip, I realized that those women had been on the locks in the evening. And so, for that matter, was the woman at the English bed and breakfast who surprised us both with this extravagant lunch that she had prepared for us for our day of travels. Completely unexpected. And so, for that matter, was this man we met in this small town in Austria who bought us a round of drinks. All of them had been on Philoxenia. Now, maybe you're thinking Philoxenia is some sort of new drug by Merck, or some other drug, or maybe that it has something to do with the Dr. Phil Philoxenia show. I would guess that you've probably never heard of the word, which is all right. It's not a common word. I would guess that you have heard of philosophy, which is the love of wisdom. Philo is love, and Sophia is love of wisdom. I'm guessing you've heard of Philadelphia, which is love of brother, brother. Hence, Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. And you know that a phobia is a fear of something. So if you have, for example, ecclesiophobia, you wouldn't be here. If you had xenophobia, you would have a deep-seated fear of Xena, Princess Warrior. Some of you know that TV show. Actually, if you had xenophobia, you'd have a fear of strangers, because xeno means stranger. Thus, philoxenia means the love of strangers. It's a Greek word, and when it appears in the Christian scriptures, it means a form of hospitality. Hospitality as one, as a spiritual gift one has, but also hospitality as a spiritual practice. This idea of hospitality, of welcoming the stranger, is deeply embedded in the Bible. Jesus taught that it is in the stranger and in that space between the stranger and you that the divine might be encountered. And upending his listeners' understanding of the nature of the divine, Jesus puts forth his vision of radical hospitality. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was a stranger, and it is strangers. Strangers, those whom we least expect, who are the other half of that zip code. When we welcome the stranger, we often receive unexpected gifts as well. The richness of their presence and of their experience. This sort of radical hospitality is not based on kinship or political leanings or religious ideology. As author Barton makes it
understood that love is sacramental. I remember so well the wedding that I performed. It was two men. One of the partners was dying, didn't have long to live. As a matter of fact, we moved out the wedding so that he was still alive. And Rob and I often at our weddings encourage people to do what we call a loving cup ceremony, where family members share a cup of wine or juice with the people getting married. He very much wanted to do this ritual in the wedding. Now, so I invited the family members that were there, and some were and some weren't, to come forward and stand in a semicircle around the partners. And the man said, "No, I want everyone who's here to come join the circle." So everybody stood up and came. We had this huddle of people who were attending the wedding. And I turned to them and I said, "Do you want to drink from the cup first so that your immune system is not any more compromised than it needs to be?" And he said, "No." And the cup moved around from family member to friend, from family to friend, with these two men grounded in their love for each other, grounded in their love for this community that surrounded them, knowing that they were willing to risk anything for this ritual of love. Risk anything. And the cup came to them. His life was, in all likelihood, shortened by the compromise to his immune system that drinking from a cup contained. But that risk was worth it. And there was such terrible beauty and poetry to the last of his days because he stood firm in that risk that we take in love. Last week, Rob preached about facing our fears, sharing with the congregation that we are considering entering into partnership with the Meekers to create circles of accountability for sex offenders. This was shocking news to a lot of us, but I want to tell you that this is the beginning of a conversation. The executive committee voted to move forward in this because we understand that we are grounded in a theology of connectedness, a theology of all souls, and that we are called to include the least of these. I know many of you are concerned that if we move forward and we have not decided yet if we are and your voice will be included, that it is a risk to our children. I want to tell you, as a survivor of sexual abuse, that there is no way that this program can move forward that would in any way risk your children. It's where I live. I won't let it happen. And statistically, your children are more at risk by some people in this room now, because we don't know. We don't know. But love is grounded in risk. I am not making light of this risk, and I am not making light of this demand to love. There are so